Recent polls show that Americans' trust in mass media has sunk to an all-time low. And at a time where we're seeing a proliferation of fake news, many people feel distrustful of what they read and hear in the media. At the same time, social media is driving a tendency to choose media that resonate with our own viewpoint, meaning it gets easier and easier to live inside our own media bubble and not be challenged by opposing viewpoints. This could lead us to ask, how does public media uphold its commitment to fairness and accuracy? To help answer these questions, Central Time executive producer Judith Sears-Poisson recently sat down with NPR Ombudsman Elizabeth Jensen.
So you are the NPR Ombudsman. What is an ombudsman exactly?
Well, it's sort of a unique role in journalism. Some organizations, the very few organizations that do still have an ombudsman, some of them call it a public editor. So the role is basically a liaison, the representative of the public in the newsroom. So I'm the liaison between the public and NPR's journalists. I try to surface the concerns that listeners have with the newsroom, and then conversely, I try to explain to the listeners sort of the decision-making that goes on in the newsroom, sort of why they're hearing what they're hearing.
And so it sounds like this used to be a more common role that was present in media organizations. Why do you think there are fewer today?
It was indeed more common probably 10, 15 years ago. A number of organizations have gotten rid of the ombudsman largely for cost. But there's also the role of social media. So there are some editors or publishers who feel that the social media can bring to light concerns that listeners have or readers or viewers have with journalism, that that these issues will bubble up on social media and that you don't need an intermediary, if you will, to really answer those listener concerns and to bring them forward in the newsroom. What we who are still in this business would argue is that an ombudsman plays a different role than social media. Yes, we are bringing those concerns to the attention of the newsroom, but it's also about being charged to be able to comment on it. So I report to the CEO of NPR. I don't report to the newsroom. I also don't have management authority in the newsroom, so I can't order up a change. But I have a column, and what I can do is I can write about issues and thoughtfully consider them, if you will, and sort of bringing that public platform to these listener concerns is the hope is that the sort of they will get a wider hearing and, perhaps changes will be made if changes are warranted.
Well, and speaking of the column that you wrote, you recently wrote an article saying that NPR is increasingly challenged by misinformation. Where do you see that misinformation coming from?
Right. We're in an interesting journalism time right now. The country itself is fairly polarized. That's not just journalism. People are sort of fighting hard for their positions, and what we seem to be finding is that in live interviews, there are a lot of facts that are sort of being misrepresented, if you will. This is happening on both sides. People have talking points. They're trying to argue for their position on legislation, important issues of the day. These sometimes get condensed down into talking points, and not all those talking points are necessarily accurate. The challenge for NPR in particular is when you have a live interview and somebody throws out a statistic, the host, NPR's hosts are terrific. You can't always have every single statistic at your fingertips, and you have to be listening very critically, and you're doing a 5-minute interview and someone suddenly throws a statistic at you that may or may not be accurate. You don't necessarily have the resources immediately at hand to, if you don't know it off the top of your head, to check it out. The challenge then becomes to not let that information go uncorrected. And so how does NPR deal with that?
So what are the options that you see as the ombudsman, as someone who's advocating for providing the best service and information to the listeners, what are some of the options for making those corrections? Is it in the moment? Is it later? If it's later, where is it? And how easy is it to find?
Right. In the moment is definitely the best. So if somebody hears something on air and that a statement that an interviewee is making, the best option, of course, is to stop them respectfully right there and say, well, but those aren't the statistics we have, or to push back, if you will. But again, that doesn't always happen because people don't necessarily know all of the statistics in the moment. So NPR has tried to deal with it in a couple of ways. So you can do a correction on air later. The challenge with that is that, for the most part, NPR listeners don't listen to 2 hours of a show. They'll listen while they're in their car and their commute. So what is that, 11 minutes, 20 minutes?
So they may hear the original, but not the correction.
They wouldn't hear the correction, right. You can do a correction online, but again, there's not necessarily that much crossover between sort of the listeners who hear something on air and the NPR.org readers. One way that NPR has been handling it that I think is at least certainly one way to partly solve the problem is NPR, of course, broadcasts across many time zones, and some of the programs are repeat. Some of the interviews are repeated. Even many stations air the morning edition, say from 5 a.m. to 9 a.m. So if we do an interview and the editors realize in the moment or after the fact that there was a mistake, they're now going back in and editing it and adding in a fact check for the subsequent rebroadcast of that interview.
So at least maybe the Pacific time zone listeners get the correction.
Right, or the person who heard it at 7 a.m. versus 5 a.m. will at least get the accurate information. So I think NPR is really sort of working very hard to try and meet this challenge. Mm-hmm. I just don't think there's an obvious answer to this issue. So the one final answer, of course, would be to pre-tape all interviews. That's not optimal. You want to get people in the moment. The news is moving very fast these days, and you want to be on top of it. You don't want to wait a day, which sometimes happens if you have to pre-tape an interview.
Right. We're talking with NPR Ombudsman Elizabeth Jensen about her role as a listener advocate and the opportunities and challenges facing journalism today. Well, as we've talked about, there are a lot of ways that people consume media now, listening to the radio, TV, but all the social media ways that the news is disseminated. And it's become easier, I think, for news consumers to live in their own media bubbles to the point where people seem to be working off of completely different sets of facts, whatever facts agree with their position. What is the role of NPR and other public media in that current landscape?
I think it is a challenge for NPR. NPR was founded on the premise that there would be respectful conversation with people who hold multitude of perspectives, so covering the gamut. Increasingly, as you say, we see people gravitating towards media that really fits their own bubble and their own landscape, and they're not necessarily interested in hearing the perspective of someone who is coming from a different place than they are. I think that there's still a role for the NPRs of the world. I think that NPR needs to be very clear about its mission and its framing and to say, this is what we do. We hear from everyone. Sometimes listeners, they'll only hear a single interview and they'll say, oh, you're biased against, my position. If you wait sort of an hour, you'll hear another interview with a different perspective. So I think NPR perhaps could be better at communicating that to the public that, you're hearing from Congressman X right now, but in an hour you're going to hear from Congresswoman Y and who's going to have an opposite point of view. So I think there are some things that some tweaks that can be made to the model to make it very clear that NPR hears from from all perspectives. But I do think that there is a role, but I think you have to fight and advocate for your role, if you will.
Well, and also there is this feeling of very deep skepticism about the media, even attacks on the media,
right,
both from political leaders and from people who are following their lead.
Right.
As the ombudsman at NPR, are you sensing a shift in the trust that people have in the media?
I think so, absolutely. The number of complaints of bias against the programming are certainly rising, but they're coming from both sides. So I don't think that's necessarily an adequate answer to say, oh, we hear from equal numbers of people from both sides, so we must be doing something right. But that is, they are wide-ranging, the concerns. One of the things I think NPR has done very well in the past year, it really started in the summer, was putting an emphasis on fact-checking. And they rolled this out for the presidential debates. They were fact-checking the debates in real time. And it's not just fact-checking, it's also annotating, which I think is just very helpful. So
providing some context.
Right, providing context so the listeners really know sort of, you know, where does this fact or this statement fit in the landscape. The fact may be true, but the context is wrong, or vice versa, or the fact may just be completely wrong. So I think fact-checking has become very, very important in this era of distrust. And so I think NPR is not alone in sort of emphasizing fact-checking. Others have been increasingly doing that as well. But I think that's it's definitely a public service that NPR has been able to provide. And I think it goes a long way to sort of addressing some of these concerns and mistrust of the media.
Well, Elizabeth, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you. My pleasure.
That was Elizabeth Jensen, the ombudsman from NPR, talking about how NPR upholds public trust in an age of increasing misinformation.